Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number two. Let me finish up with some news I was covering, and we're going to get into part two of Life Extension Technologies. In the third hour, we're getting a quick report from Tibet on what's happening there, and your phone calls and more news. Okay, so for 35 years, in the echelon group of nations, I call them that because the same nations that have echelon, I noticed about a decade ago, the NSA spying system, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the U.S., and England, all have Head Start, Secure Start, Good Start. It's all the same programs, all the same or similar names, same police uniforms. It's the same social planners. It's run by the same people, the Anglo-American establishment. And the European establishment's like the twin brother. I mean, it's almost the same, but a little different. Worse in some cases, not in others. We're worse in some other areas than they are, but it's pretty much the same system. But I mean exactly the same with our five nations. Because we're all really commonwealths under the Queen of England. We've been under that at least since 1913 back here in the U.S. Went into receivership. But, and in 33, they expanded with War Powers Act. But they take your blood at any hospital in Australia, England, U.S., Canada, and many other areas. Those are the big five. And they put it in a database. They use it for genetic engineering, and they say they own it, and they patent it, and they're even talking about charging you later for your own genes for gene therapy. I'm not talking about you bagging your own blood or cord blood for your child later if they need it with the different types of cells, the stem cells. I'm talking about they take your baby's blood and they put it in the database. Now, they announced in England, Australia, and now the U.S., in the last 3 years, that, yeah, it's going into a Homeland Security, and in those countries, Scotland Yard and the rest, your child's put in the government database. Now, it's not put into the main index, but it's entered in and prepared and ready. No Fourth Amendment, no nothing, just criminal government doing what criminals do. Now, 2 years ago, I reported, because Google put a press release out, that they were going to use cameras built into almost all new computers. By almost, I don't know if any computer doesn't have them built into the screen or above it or beside it, and microphones. And people say, well, yeah, that's just so you can do video conferencing. Yes, but they are going to use it to watch you and listen to you and then have text ads and audio ads. If a dog's barking, they will send you dog food ads. That was their press release example. And it's going to know what you're watching on television by the audio of it with keyword computers, NSA-type technology. Again, the computer puts it into text, and the Google software, which is really NSA, and it's old-generation stuff, comes in, now they're upgrading it, comes in and scans it. And so forget just cookies and tracking you on the computer. This is your camera watching you. We'll have repairmen around the office or people like that, and they'll say, hey, why do you have a piece of tape over that camera on the computer? And they'll kind of laugh at me and when I tell them, because they can tune in and watch me. Oh, they're watching you. Doesn't matter if Google puts out a press release. Doesn't matter if they say they're already doing it. Comcast, and this was covered by New TV, a big industry blog, but you can actually go to Comcast announcing it. Comcast cameras to start watching you. And this is going to be in the cable box. Now, remember I told you 10 years ago, an engineer, I was first told by an installer, and then an engineer told me, yeah, these new digital Scientific Atlantic cable boxes listen to you. And he opened it up and showed me the microphone. He said, no, they collect data, keywords for marketing. That's what we're told. And, man, I had cable company people calling me up, threatening me, not executives saying I'm a liar. I had people, you know, just like, I work there, and how dare you lie. And I go, what are you in? Well, I'm in sales. Well, then shut up. You don't know anything. Here it is. Comcast cameras to start watching you. We'll cover that in the third hour. And they say, if you don't want cable, fine. But they say, we're going to watch you. See, it isn't like Orwell where they make you take it. It's like, you want a cell phone? You want cable? You want video games? You want to have your baby at the hospital? This is what we do. We put them in a database. We take their blood.
Hey, ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products in education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history, comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entirely new two-hour film that completely destroys the official fable forever. Loose Change Final Cut hopes to be a catalyst for a new independent investigation in which family members receive answers to their questions and the true perpetrators of this horrendous crime are brought to justice. Loose Change Final Cut is the ultimate 9/11 expose. From hijackers being trained at U.S. military bases to bombs in the buildings, Loose Change Final Cut is the one 9/11 film everyone must see. Secure your copy of Loose Change Final Cut today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. While you're visiting the online video store, be sure to check out the huge discounts on films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, America, Freedom to Fascism, and hundreds of other titles. We're in a no-holds-bar information war. Truth is our weapon, and PrisonPlanet.com has the tools you need to take the fight back to Big Brother.
Spyville.com is your choice for everything spy-related. Stealth cameras cleverly disguised as items commonly found around the home, night vision cameras, covert phone and voice recorders, powerful binoculars, security systems, and more. Find hidden cameras wherever you go with a small handheld spy finder and locate hidden transmitters with one of our bug detectors. Spyville.com also carries a wide variety of night vision scopes, allowing you to see in the darkest of conditions. Protect your home and business with our complete line of security cameras, made to fit any situation. We also carry a large selection of personal security devices. Keep your personal belongings secure using our hidden safes made out of everyday household items, including an outlet safe and even an underwear safe. Go to Spyville.com. That's SpyVille.com or call us today at 866-779-8455. That's 866-779-8455. Use promotional code GCN007 and receive a 5% discount when ordering online. Spyville.com, where your personal security and well-being is our goal.
Guest on who've got so many letters behind their names and have done so many interesting things and written so many best-selling books and award-winning journals that I can't really give him a good bio here. We had him on for about 30 minutes last week. He's with us for the rest of the hour today because it's an important subject. Aubrey de Grey, Dr. Aubrey de Grey. And you know what, Doc, before we get into all this, it's best for you just to tell us about yourself. I know you don't like that, but instead of me just going over 20 pages of stuff, what do you think's most important for my listeners to know about you?
Sure, I have no trouble doing that. Well, I'm a biologist. Specifically, I'm a biomedical gerontologist, which means that I'm interested in the biology of the aging process, but with a view to eventually being able to do something about aging, and in particular, with a view to being able to defeat it completely in the future. I was originally a computer scientist, more of an engineer than a basic scientist, and one thing that has certainly helped me a lot in being able to make a contribution in my chosen field is that I have this sort of bipartite background, an engineering training and also a basic science training.
Tell us about some of the books and journals you've written.
Well, I have a book out that came out about 6 months ago. It's called Ending Aging, and it describes the technical details of how I think we're going to go about ending aging in the foreseeable future. I have written it very much for a general audience, so nobody who's listening should be scared of buying it. But at the same time, I don't really cut any corners on the science either. I go into as much detail as necessary to show that we really do know a great deal about how we're going to solve this problem.
And you head up a foundation that's one of the preeminent groups out there trying to, I guess, think tank all this information together, but also fund some of the research.
That's absolutely right. The foundation is called the Methuselah Foundation, and we solicit funds from the general public, which we then give out again to researchers to perform important critical path research in universities around the world so that we can hasten the defeat of aging.
You've got several sites. Which ones are important to plug?
Well, it's all really within one site, mfoundation.org, but there are two main parts of the site. One of them is dealing with the actual research itself in more abbreviated form, of course, than is present in the book, and talking about the particular research we're funding and what we'd like to fund in the future. The other part concentrates on our other main activity, which is the M-Prize, a prize competition that we run, which is simply intended to encourage researchers to try to break the world mouse lifespan record. And the purpose of that is because mice are sufficiently similar to humans that serious progress in postponing aging in mice is likely to have foreseeable biomedical relevance to humans.
And they're already living 50% longer.
Well, that's not completely true. At the moment, we can get mice to live maybe 40 or 50% longer if we start really early, especially if we
That's what I was saying.
If we alter some of their genes before they've even been conceived, so we alter the genes of their parents. But for those of us who have the misfortune to be already alive, the important thing, of course, is to develop therapies that can be begun in middle age and yet have some effect.
See, I think that's where we got confused last time. I'd seen years ago, like 10 years ago, studies. I'm sure you've seen them too, but and you probably remember the details better than I do. But talking about just with diet mice living a lot longer, you're talking about separately genetically modified mice.
That's right. I mean, so basically the genetic modifications that have been discovered so far that make big increases in the lifespan of mice are actually based on the same sort of science as the dietary interventions that were discovered very long time ago, 70 or so years ago. Basically, the genetic interventions trick the mouse into thinking that it's not getting enough food, and it responds by altering its metabolism in a way that has a side effect of slowing down its rate of aging. But the thing about that intervention, about the dietary intervention of just not feeding the mouse as much as before, is that unless you start it really pretty early in life, it doesn't really have much of an effect. If you start in middle age, it only very slightly increases the lifespan.
And we covered that last time. I want to get into another area. There are those trees in the high desert areas of California that they think are thousands of years old, not just the big redwoods, but the smaller ones. And I remember reading in some studies a long time ago in college that scientists think that its brethren lower down that only live 200 years, but these trees are over 1,000 years, is because it's very low water, very low temperatures at night, but also hot during the day. And I mean, is there some type of corollary in plant research to plants that are put under pressure?
There is some, but we would be very unwise to read too much into it in terms of its relevance to what we could do for ourselves.
No, I understand, but why are those trees then up on those mountains living 10 times longer than their brethren down in the valley?
Well, there are a variety of reasons, including simple erosion and the vagaries of the weather that you've mentioned. But the reason why we can't read much into it is because in a tree, the cells that are actually alive still on the surface of the trunk and in the leaves and so on are all continuously dividing. I mean, not rapidly dividing, but there is not a single living cell in a tree that has spent more than 20 or 30 years without dividing.
But our brain, our eyes, all these key parts, they stop dividing.
Absolutely, especially the brain, and also the heart and one or two other tissues. And that's really important, because a non-dividing cell has much harder problems to solve in terms of avoiding aging, avoiding the accumulation of damage, than a dividing cell does. If a cell accumulates garbage, you know, material that is indigestible in some way, and it doesn't know how to get rid of it, but it divides, then that material is diluted out between the two cells. So it can be kept at a constant level within any one cell. And that's an enormously powerful rejuvenating influence. And that also applies to mutations that accumulate in the DNA, for example. You can use selection to get rid of the cells that get the mutations. So the adoption of, well, the evolution of tissues that have long-lived non-dividing cells, especially the brain, was really the point where we sold our cell to aging. And that's why we need biomedical technology to do something about it.
Okay, I mean, putting it in layman's simple terms, and you've, again, he's got peer-reviewed studies, papers by major universities and medical institutions, and they're saying there's a lot of evidence. I mean, it's backed up scientifically. How are you saying that we now know that in the future we'll be able to put it off, and then, as you said last time you were on, then if we can put it off another 30, 40, 50 years, there'll be more advances then we know that develop? I mean, what is proven? I mean, how do we know you'll be able to do this?
Ultimately, we know it simply because we know that the human body is a machine. That's really all it comes down to. We don't know how soon we're going to be able to do it. I think we have a 50% chance of getting there within, let's say, 30 or so years. But we certainly don't know how long it's going to take, and that's because we don't know enough about the obstacles that we may encounter going forward. But at the moment, we can describe in quite a lot of detail all the various types of damage that the body accumulates as side effects of its normal operation. Molecular and cellular changes throughout life that start even from before we're born, and that are initially harmless, just in the same way that it's okay to have a little bit of garbage in your house, but that eventually, when they get too abundant, they start to cause real damage. So we need to repair those various types of damage, those molecular and cellular changes. And since we can already describe those, what those types of change are, we can look quite closely at how we might get rid of them. And my reason for optimism is that we can describe, not just in general terms, but in a lot of detail, exactly what we need to do, and in some cases we're pretty close to already being able to do it, to reverse those various changes.
I mean, continue. Give me some examples of what we currently know is working.
Okay, sure. So one very well-known area of biomedical research is, of course, stem cell research. And here I don't just mean embryonic stem cell research. I mean stem cell research in general.
Yeah, it's in the female breast. It's in fat. Yeah.
Yeah, stem cells come from a lot of places. That's right. And we're getting pretty good at manipulating cells so that they are the right sort of stem cell. Now, the reason why stem cells are important is because one of the changes that happen throughout life is that in some of our tissues, especially some parts of the brain and also the heart and one or two other places, cells die and they are not naturally replaced by the division of other cells. So we have to help the body out by putting in new cells ourselves by medical treatments so as to maintain these various tissues.
Well, that's just like if somebody, and they've seen some success, you probably know more about all the hundreds of studies, but you know, with somebody with Parkinson's, you know, putting brain cells, and they can now culture these, in there, and then the body is absorbing them and using them.
That's exactly right. Parkinson's disease turns out to be one of the easier applications of stem cell therapies, because the part of the brain where the cells die is a very well-defined, localized one. Okay, so then...
But what's amazing is the brain is actually using the new cells. That's incredible. I mean, that's a big step towards what you're saying, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the reason why these things aren't so hard as they might look is because the information that the cells need in order to know what to do when you put them into the brain is already encoded in those cells. So long as they are more or less in the right state, they will take cues from their environment in just the same way, really, as the cells did when the brain was being built in the first place.
It's like the rest of the brain is a drill sergeant that tells them line up?
Well, to an approximation, yes, that's right.
Now, just simplification here, because this is complex stuff. We'll be right back with our guest after this quick break. Best-selling author, multiple doctorates, You can go read his bio if you've got 5 hours. Aubrey de Grey will be right back on the other side of this quick break. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com are the websites.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the New World Order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or Infowars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame, blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention. Ron Paul did not quit. He is still in the race. Most Americans do not understand how the election process works. The media is lying. John McCain does not have the Republican nomination. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. After the mainstream media wrote a hit piece on how Ron Paul quit, many supporters quit as well. Ron Paul has stated he will continue his run for presidency as long as he has your continued support. Ron Paul has a plan. The delegates have not yet been voted on, and they are voted first in county, then state, all the way to the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win. That's ronpaulflags.com to find out more on how delegates work. Stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today. Or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526.
Our beloved republic is on her knees. The forces of globalism are destroying national sovereignty worldwide. But in liberty's darkest hour, there is hope. The first time in modern history, the people are beginning to wake up. It is essential that patriots worldwide accelerate their fellow man's understanding of the New World Order Master Plan. We have a short time frame to fully awaken and energize the people to meet this threat. In the info war, PrisonPlanet.tv is a powerful weapon in the battle to regain our freedom. PrisonPlanet.tv is a vault of forbidden information. All 18 of my documentary films can be downloaded or streamed in super high quality directly to your computer or iPhone and shared with others. Thousands of special video reports, from tainted vaccines to martial law, can be found in this online video library. My weekly news television broadcast, thousands of exclusive audio interviews, and so much more. The InfoWar is waiting for you to set it free. Join PrisonPlanet.tv. Burn the info bombs to dust. Put them on the file sharing networks. Bring down the New World Order. PrisonPlanet.tv.
With oil at $105 per barrel and counting, radical changes need to be implemented if we're to avert becoming a third world nation. It's time to jump on the next wave of free energy and radical natural alternative health solutions. Introducing Orgon products. Orgon is the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter in the material world. Orgon electromedicine is the wave of the future, dating back to the late 1800s. Wilhelm Reich Orgon uses Cloudbuster technology that can now be applied in your home for dramatic energy savings of up to 25%. The possible uses for this device are only limited by your imagination. For less than the cost of a doctor's visit, you can have in your hands a device that could lead to the end of all your problems. Health does not need to be expensive or complicated. Simple technology equals profound results at OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E-Products.org or call 646-498-5309. 646-498-5309. Visit OrgonProducts.org today.
To talk about some of the genetic manipulation that's going on, some of the injection of stem cells, currently the treatments, and then what the research and you know, some of the advanced stuff that's on the horizon that's being developed, and then we'll talk about the social ramifications and even have some time near the end of this hour to take some calls with our guest at 1-800-259-9231. Going back to Dr. Aubrey de Grey, please continue.
Okay, so one other area that's very, very important to combating aging and that is really moving forward very nicely is in the combating of one aspect of Alzheimer's disease. So Alzheimer's disease, as you may know, is a very complicated phenomenon in which, first of all, you have got cell death, very much like in Parkinson's disease, but more distributed around the brain. But also you've got the accumulation of various types of indigestible molecule inside the neurons and outside the neurons. And the stuff that accumulates outside the neurons, which is called senile plaques, is believed by a lot of people to be a really major player in the progression of Alzheimer's disease. So about 10 years ago, a trick was found in mice such that you could actually vaccinate against this stuff. You could get certain cells in the brain called microglia to essentially swallow these chunks of material that were sitting around in the spaces between cells, and they would be able to destroy it once it was inside the cells. So that treatment was so effective in mice that it's already moved to clinical trials, and the clinical trials are going very well. The phase 3 clinical trials, the final stage, has just begun. So that's going nicely.
Other areas, other things that are being developed?
Well, the ones I've mentioned so far are probably the ones that are furthest along. If we look at things that are not quite so far along but are still going pretty nicely, one example is the accumulation of really, really difficult to break down things that are inside cells already. For example, various molecules similar to cholesterol that are inside cells in the wall of our arteries. Cholesterol itself is not really a harmful molecule because our cells know how to deal with it, but it gets spontaneously modified into forms that our cells don't know how to deal with. And those forms accumulate and eventually stop the cells in our artery walls from working, and that's where an atherosclerotic plaque comes from. That's where heart disease and heart attacks and strokes come from. So there's progress going on at the moment, actually a lot of it's funded by my foundation, that is looking to identify bacteria in the soil that can break down these things, and then to identify the genes that they have that allow them to break down these things. The idea here is that when we find those genes, we can modify them in some fairly obvious ways and introduce them into our own cells so as to give them a greater versatility in the range of things that they can break down. So that's a pretty ambitious idea. It'll take quite a long time to get it to work, but when it does work, it'll be by far the most effective way to address heart disease and also various other things like macular degeneration, for example, far more effective than anything we have today.
Now, that's just one body of science, isn't it, that fits in as a unit into the larger plan that you've devised?
That's right, yes. So I normally describe the range of things that need to be developed and done as breaking down into seven different categories. And so I just mentioned that atherosclerosis and macular degeneration are both within one category. That's because the general approach to fixing those two problems is broadly similar. It's not exactly similar. We have to find different enzymes to break down different target compounds, but the general approach to finding those enzymes is more or less the same.
Now, guesstimation, how far along are we until somebody who's, say, 50 years old can live comfortably to 150? Or are you saying we're already at that point?
I think that we have a 50% chance of developing the technologies I'm talking about here within about 25 or 30 years. And the technologies we have at that point should, in my view, be sufficient that we can take someone who's, let's say, 60 years old at that point, in other words, let's say 30 years old now, and give them an extra 30 or so years of healthy life. In other words, essentially rejuvenate them, not completely, not totally comprehensively back to a 20-year-old, for example, but maybe back to the age of 40, the biological age of 40, such that they'll be maybe 90 years old before they get back to being biologically 60. And during that time, those 30 years, the therapies will have been improved in terms of their comprehensiveness so that we can apply them again, the improved therapies, to the same people who are now 90 and re-rejuvenate them back to, let's say, biologically 30 and so on.
Well, you know, I am a Christian and I'm proud of my faith, but I don't like the quacks and kooks that take it and do a lot of weird things with her, even other groups, saying that even trying to extend life is impossible. Same folks that said we never fly, you know, that we never have airplanes, we never have computers. I don't know how religiously it got to become a dogma that life extension doesn't exist or is a lie or is of the devil. So I wanted to kind of get into the social ramifications of this on the other side. I mean, if you don't die, how do you go to heaven or hell?
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Doctors around the world claim that cancer and other diseases cannot live in a pH-balanced alkaline environment. But as you know, most people are overly acidic due to stress, acidic diet, and lack of exercise. pH balance is the foundation of energy abundance and perfect health, as well as prevention of disease. People who alkalize the water they drink experience normalized blood sugar, mental clarity, and loss of weight. It was intended for human beings to drink alkaline water, but due to modern way of life, most people are overly acidic. The fact is that disease simply cannot exist in an alkaline environment. Fat accumulates if a person consumes too much acid on a regular basis and doesn't neutralize it. Do your part. Alkalize and supercharge your body now. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops contain a special mineral salt concentrate that raises the pH of the water you drink up to the pH of 10 with only 10 drops. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to alkavision.com. Again, that's alkavision.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Yes, there is an in-dash AM/FM shortwave radio. For limited time and in limited numbers, the Sony GT160S AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player is available only at the Power Hour. This radio is designed to eliminate interference from ignition systems, and the result is clear, clean reception, so you can hear your favorite broadcasts both domestically and internationally. Get your Sony AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour today. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. To order. Only $249 plus shipping and handling, and we'll ship it right to you. There's even an input to plug in an external source. Your MP3 player, your iPod, your DVD player, or any other source will sound great through your new Sony receiver. These radios are not available anywhere else and for a limited time, so call now. Dial 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get your Sony GT160S AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine. I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down the stand.
Dr. DeGray. You know, I don't know if we'll be able to ever, quote, live 1,000 years, but I know certainly with technology, people will be able to live a lot longer. There's no doubt of that. Will we still be human? And that gets into the whole transhumanist, posthumanist discussion. And I think a lot of what you're talking about borders into that, but you're talking about the admitted technologies that can extend that are being developed. But what about people who have trouble dealing with this? In my last film, I quote futurist, you know, saying we'll have world government and we can't let the general public have this stuff and we're going to get rid of them. And I mean, that's in Wired Magazine. Kurzweil's talking about it. I mean, this is all being discussed, and how only the rich are going to be able to have it, and the suicide nihilist will, you know, basically turn into spaceships and fly off the planet and blow us up. You know, I mean, these guys sound nuts, and they're getting huge prizes and money, and they're inventing computer technology, and they're billionaires, so people, you know, tend to listen to Bill Joy and others. He's a good guy, you know, saying he goes to meetings with 200 elitists, and they're talking about all this. So certainly there's a science fiction element to it, but what was science fiction 50 years ago is reality today in so many cases. So my point is, how do you weigh the extremist on one end who are running around saying we're going to live forever next week with the people that say it's of the devil to even have a pacemaker?
It's much easier than you would think, actually, because ultimately all of what I'm talking about revolves around alleviating the suffering that most of us have to look forward to when we get older. And that's an awful lot of suffering, as we all know. If we find really comprehensive treatments to all of the various things that go wrong with our bodies in later life, then people are going to welcome those things. And there just happens that there's going to be this side effect that we won't tend to, you know, to die in our sleep anymore. We will tend to wake up the following morning, and the morning after that, and the morning after that. But it should be regarded as a side benefit, not as the main goal, to live longer for the sake of living longer. And I think when you talk about it and you think about it that way, the idea that there might be any religious objection to it becomes a good deal, you know, harder to defend.
I mean, I've just had other guests on like yourself. I've mentioned this in a film, and I've gotten criticism saying I'm basically a devil for even talking about it. But, I mean, how could you not talk about it? I mean, I remember when I had great-grandparents and grandparents dying when I was a kid, I thought, man, I don't want to watch my parents die. That's when I, very young, began to think about not even that I was going to get old or die myself because I was so young. I thought I'd live forever. You have that bulletproof attitude, but I don't want these people I love to die. So I mean, I don't think it's evil to discuss these things.
Exactly, and they probably didn't want to die either. Even people who are getting quite frail and sick probably don't want to die immediately, and certainly people who are youthful mostly don't seem to want to die anytime soon. And the question, therefore, is how do we arrange to maximize the ability of people to live as long as they want to and to stay healthy as long as they want to? It seems to me that the message from Scripture is very clear there, for example, that we're supposed to do our best to alleviate suffering and to save lives. And one can't argue that extending lives is in any way different from saving lives, because ultimately we agree that old people are people too. And so if we reject ageism, then we have to agree that things that kill old people are just as bad as things that kill young people.
Well, you certainly have a good point there. My whole concern is that these systems to extend our lives are leaning towards the cybernetic merging with all the genetic engineers, kind of like the whole, there's the whole replicant view of Blade Runner, where it's pure biological, designed by machines and humans, versus the cybernetic cyborg merger. And I just see it leaning more and more towards the cybernetic, and then even on the genetic. I mean, really, once you get into machines and genetics, it's pretty, at least from my novice view, similar in that it's all just programming and setting things up. So as we begin to play God, I see this erasing a lot of what we were. Now the transhumanists say that will actually make us something more human than human. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think that it is important not to be too scared about the future decisions that humanity will make sequentially in determining whether to adopt certain opportunities for progress. Because after all, there are plenty of times when we choose not to. For example, we had a very rapid and successful and enthusiastic advance with regard to powered flight during the first two-thirds or so of the last century. But then, what happened? Why do we not have our flying cars now? The answer is not because we couldn't, but because we couldn't be bothered. You know, there wasn't enough pressure for them. And similarly, these biomedical advances that may have the opportunity to merge with non-biological advances will only actually merge with them if the general public are enthusiastic about that and they can see some benefits. Otherwise, the technology just won't be developed.
Well, I happen to love humanity and my heritage and my ancestors and God's creation. I mean, I don't want to fundamentally, I'm all for pacemakers, I'm all for somebody's having seizures to, you know, have a chip put in there. The problem is, every time I turn around, I mean, there's a big controversy right now, England, the U.S., they take babies' blood, they put it in the DNA database, and now they want to use it for law enforcement, and they don't tell the soccer moms down on the street that this is going on. We have the eugenics. We have the former head of the Cold Springs Harbor back when it was a eugenics operation, basically saying blacks are inferior. I mean, we have such a the bedrock of what is the modern intelligentsia was built on this elitism. And you can say long term everybody's going to demand these technologies for themselves. But in reality, with resources, and the elite tend to do this even when there are enough resources, they like to control the resources as a mode of domination. And down every avenue I see the haves and the have-nots. I'm rich. I don't get cancer. You know, I was genetically engineered, but you know, you're a poor person. You're going to get cancer.
I think there's a good answer to that, a very persuasive answer to that that prospect, and reason why we don't need to be worrying about it, which is simply that the reason why we see inequality of access to important things at the moment is because there is not enough desire on the part of the general public, the less wealthy people, to actually get those things. If we look at things that really are very important to everybody, then they are available when and the ability to pay is found. Like, for example, basic education is available for free in every country in the Western world, and the reason it's free is because there's a general agreement among the population that it's important enough that it ought to be free. I think it's going to be like that. I think at the moment the medical treatments that we have just aren't effective enough and therefore aren't important enough to drive that sense of there being a fundamental human right to the point where things are free.
I mean, everything's growing exponentially. I think sooner than 30 years, a lot of things you're talking about are going to start happening. Mexican Attorney General 4 years ago made a bunch of his employees take implantable chips. Companies are making employees. I've had police chiefs on from the U.S. saying they would forcibly inject us with chips because it's for our own good. Bars make you have it to go into the topless section. All of this is happening. They're just integrating it. And so that's the problem I see, is that things like this are going to be forced on people, and it's going to be sold as a medical treatment. Well, we've got to take care of you. We've got all these government-paid-for clinics with your tax money. And then really, these will be systems of control.
I really can't see us training people down and rejuvenating them by force. It just doesn't seem very plausible.
See, but I'm not talking about your, I don't want to say narrow, it's a very wide area, but comparatively it's narrow. I'm not talking about what you're doing or how you see this ship you're captaining, where it's going. You know, your vision, which I think has some, you know, a lot of reality to it. I mean, from my own layman's perspective. What I'm saying is that I look at a lot of the other genetic engineer people, a lot of the other people in biology, a lot of the other people, and they are really a bunch of freaks. And I'm sure you know about a lot of your colleagues. I mean, a lot of them are eugenicists, crypto-eugenicists, population reduction enthusiasts. A lot of them are control freaks. They're being hired out by the defense establishment. I mean, I've got CBS news pieces where they're saying they're going to put chips in the prisoners' brains soon and rehabilitate them with programming. I mean, that's enslavement, isn't it?
It sounds pretty much like enslavement to me, but I haven't thought about it or studied it at all. As you say, I'd rather stick to my own narrow area.
Well, I mean, by narrow, it's a wide area, but you have the narrow view that because you're a good guy, you're not doing it for bad. It won't be used for bad. I'm just saying, just like we don't have a big debate about life extension, which we should have because it'll make people desire it, and then we will get it. Well, at the same time, we need a bigger debate about this to make sure it's developed in the right direction instead of being used for bad.
I agree with that.
So how do we do that?
How do we have a big debate? Well, actually, I think progress in getting the debate going on life extension may be a good start. I think a lot of what we've seen in society over the past few decades is really important problems appearing that affect all of us, things like climate change or the ozone layer or whatever. And sometimes we develop technological or other solutions that are just in time to stop them mattering, but we're very slow about it. And I think a large part of why we're slow is apathy, that we don't think, most of us don't think we can do anything. And that's, of course, true at the level of the democratic influence over what the state does in a whole range of ways. So I would say that any progress that we may make in addressing and confronting our oldest foe, namely aging, may actually have a certain amount of role in empowering us, so to speak, and making us aim a bit higher in terms of our ability to control other things and to make sure that technology is used for the good.
But I see the opposite happening. I see the general public completely drunk on entertainment, totally tuning out of reality. the elite providing them, and it also makes money in the free market, with new forms of wirehead-type cyberpunk distractions, literally a acquiescence, a self-insertion into a matrix-like system. I really see it inexorably leading it towards that.
Well, that's right. That's what I'm saying. This is the apathy I'm talking about. And I think that that apathy may actually be very strongly diminished once we start to make breakthroughs against this thing that we're all so scared of.
Well, I want to take some phone calls to get different angles and perspectives from listeners at 1-800-259-9231. And we're talking to Dr. Aubrey de Grey. And fire out the website again, sir.
mfoundation.org.
And we've got links to that up on Infowars.com right now. Let's go to Merritt in Kentucky. You're on the air, Merritt.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Hello.
Dr. de Grey, I was studying this subject probably a little over a year ago. And I was wondering, is cellular degeneration, is it still being linked to something like oxidation?
Certainly, yes. Oxidation is a damaging, it's a term that covers a wide range of damaging chemical reactions. Unfortunately, it also covers a wide range of important and very desirable chemical reactions. And a large part of the reason why the early attempts to try to control and postpone aging by diminishing the level of oxidation reactions and the level of the products of those reactions is because of the side effects, because one was diminishing the things that we wanted to have as well as the things we didn't want to have. So that's actually one of the sorts of data that led me to the approach that I tend to follow with regard to combating aging, namely to target specifically the undesirable products of things like oxidation rather than targeting the process itself. It tends to be a good deal more capable of avoiding those sorts of side effects.
And what about telomeres? Are you...
All right, so the idea that telomere shortening is the dominant influence on the rate of aging is the number one urban myth about aging. Telomere shortening may have something to do with aging of some very limited tissues, and it certainly appears to have a role as a sort of ancillary side effect of certain other disease states. But in general, the cells that we have that need to divide a lot more than they could in cell culture, they're able to do so because they express a sufficient amount of this enzyme called telomerase that compensates for the telomere shortening that happens when a cell divides.
Okay.
So the cells in which one observes this thing called the Hayflick limit, this finite amount of ability to divide, are cells that, when they're in the body, just don't need to divide very often.
Okay. Well, as far as the ethics angle on this, I think if we maintain our honorable intentions behind it, I think it's a very good technology. But a lot of the socio-political issues that are going around today have to be fixed before we actually get into the meat of this thing, I think.
I think that's right. And so the question is, what do we do? Do we say, let's slow down the development of the technologies until we're satisfied that we know what the first logical solutions are going to be? Or should we go on and develop the technologies as soon as possible, but also, in parallel, do our best to come up with a forward plan in terms of the sociological implications? I say that second approach is the best way to go, because ultimately every day we delay, we are condemning another 100,000 people to an unnecessarily early death, and that's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you're willing to get everybody more life. Now, commerce is the goal of the Tyrell Corporation, that's the line from Blade Runner, but at the same time, so many of the elite think tanks and powerful organs think there's too many people and have an absolute disgust for humanity, and all they talk about is culling the herd, as Prince Philip likes to do.
Well, all I can say is that if there are people who want to reduce the size of the human population, they don't seem to be doing very well.
Well, they have reduced the growth mightily in China and Africa and other places.
I think most of the reduction of growth has happened voluntarily. Certainly China is an exception, but in every other country around the world in which there's been a sharp decline in the number of children that the average woman is having...
Well, I don't think infertility is voluntary. I don't think the infertility numbers are voluntary. What do you, doctor, have you looked at any data that deals with life and fertility and things? At why we're seeing such massive infertility in women and sperm count numbers plunging in Western males?
Oh, certainly. The situation with male fertility, I'm not talking about at all. I'm talking about the choices that women are making to have fewer children than they used to and to have them later. And my understanding of the data is very much that the overwhelming majority of the decline in fertility that's being seen is voluntary, though, of course, there is a small increase in female infertility as well.
And that could be due to sociological pressures as well. I mean,
yeah, you know, but
you have these hypochondriacs that think they're sick and make themselves sick.
Well, look, I've seen the numbers. A large portion, but not even half of it, is that it's 45-year-old professional women who finally want to have a child. But no, we have massive infertility now developing in 18, 20, 30-year-old women, men. I mean, I know a lot of fertility doctors. I've seen the numbers. Something's going on.
Yeah, certainly for men there's plenty going on, and there's a lot that's not known about how it's going on. But, of course, the technologies that I'm talking about, among the applications of those technologies, will be technologies that can restore fertility by making, for example, testicular stem cells work better.
I understand. That's amazing. And that certainly is something that's important and can certainly help a lot of people. We'll be right back in this next segment with a couple more segments with Aubrey de Grey, Dr. Aubrey de Grey. And we will also continue with your phone calls, Ted, Harry, and others that are patiently holding. I've got some really serious questions I'm going to be getting to on the other side for our guest. And as I said, we'll continue to take your calls. You can check out his website by going to InfoWars.com. We've got a link right over there to it right now.
Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change, Final Cut. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. The Late Great USA. America, Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the new world order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calbin Pure Soaps? They're all natural, and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calbin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calbin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calvin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
Thank you.
home from 1810 to 1913. Made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So, Cyrus Jones, live forever. Grave digger, when you dig my grave, would you make it shallow so I can feel the rain? Mural Stonewall, 1903 to 1954. She lost both of her babies in the Second Great War. Now you should never have to watch your only children lowered in the ground. I mean, you should never have to...
Monday through Friday, from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're here live, ladies and gentlemen. Retransmitted over the network, the AM and FM stations across the country, and global shortwave and satellite, 9 to midnight Central, and 24 hours a day at InfoWars.com. The live show, rebroadcast, back-to-back, in the streams, and you can also subscribe to the free podcast at InfoWars.com as well. Yeah, pocket full of posies, ashes to ashes, we all fall down, grave digger. Going back to our guest, apropos, I didn't even know that bumper music was coming up, it randomly plays, Aubrey DeGray, talking about life extension technologies. What about accidents? In the future, if people are living to 152 years old, will they become accident obsessed? Because statistically... the most dangerous thing is automobile accidents or electrocution or grounding. I mean, will we become a society basically encased in styrofoam so as to not be hurt? Or will we have robot nannies that take care of us?
I think we will take much more care not to expose ourselves to risks. But I think obsessed may be too strong a word. I think one consequence of an increased quality and quantity of life will be that we place a higher value on life, and I think that's going to make the world a much less violent place because people just will take other people's lives more seriously, same as they take their own more seriously. But with regard to accidental death, I think there are going to be lots of ways in which we just throw money at the problem. For example, with regard to automobile accidents, we already have in the military plenty of technology available that can involve, you know, very sophisticated sensors to invoke automatic overrides in the case of human error, whether on the part of the driver or someone, or a pedestrian, for example. It's just that those technologies are really expensive, so nobody puts them into your average automobile.
Exactly, and then we have, as I said, computers keeping us safe, running everything, and then they take over. How do you deal with that? Because by the time we get these life extension technologies and can basically, you know, keep postponing death almost indefinitely, you know, barring, you know, hyperactive superviruses that come out of nowhere or meteors hitting us or jet airplane crashes. I mean, there'll always be something that'll have a fix for that, but it's a practice on ourselves, you know, perfecting it. How do you deal with the artificially intelligent computer taking over?
Well, I sometimes feel that computers have already taken over my life. I think to spend my entire day sitting at one. No, seriously, I think that so long as it's gradual, so long as we make our own choices with regard to how much we get computers to do for us, and we know that we're making those choices and that we can always reverse them, I don't really see a big problem with it.
But we've already got computers, pretty much designing computers, and no one person knows how the whole computer works. You've got all these expert eggheads who are geniuses and have trouble understanding it. I mean, we're already getting there where the computers are going to take total control.
That's
even
right,
if they're not AI and evil like the Terminator, it's just that they'll just start making decisions.
It is important not to let the whole thing go out of control, and some of my good friends actually are working on precisely that problem, on the design of computers.
I want to hear a little bit about that. So stay there, sir. We got a break. We'll be back in 1 minute with more calls. Please stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.